Welcome to the Astro Guy Podcast. I'm not an expert. I'm an amateur like you. I'm here to learn and here to teach. So let's enjoy the ride together. Carpe Noctem. Seize the night.
I'm your host, Wayne Zuhl, and this is the Astro Guy Podcast. Welcome to what's up in the February 2023 skies. Early risers can catch Mercury during the first week of the month, when it will be very low on the southeastern horizon just before sunrise. Unfortunately, the geometry of the solar system makes for a poor Mercury appearance this month. Fortunately, planet watchers can enjoy what Venus has to offer in February, as well as for the next several months. Brilliant Venus is the showstopper this month when it comes to the planets. It's easy to spot just after sunset in the southwest, shining brightly at magnitude -3.91. Only the moon and the sun appear brighter than Venus in our skies. Each night this month, it will set a little bit later, so it's not only bright, but it will be visible for longer each evening. At the start of February, Venus sets at around 7:15 in the evening. By month's end, it sets around 8:15. The moon has near passes of Venus on the 21st and 22nd, and on February 28th, Jupiter will be about a degree and a half away from Venus. It will be even closer on March 1st. At the start of the month, Mars is more than 60 degrees above the east-southeastern horizon, shining brightly at magnitude -0.29. It's in the constellation Taurus all month long and is easy to spot as it makes a triangle between itself, Aldebaran, and the Pleiades. By the end of February, Mars will have dimmed to magnitude +0.38 and will have shrunk from about 11 arc seconds to only 8 arc seconds. Keen-eyed observers should still be able to make some markings out on the disk at high power, provided that the atmosphere is steady. Jupiter begins the month about 40 degrees above the southwestern horizon, and by the end of the month, it's low in the west near Venus. Since Jupiter shines at about magnitude -2.9, it should be easy to spot even when it's very low. It will soon be lost in the glow of the sun until it reappears in the morning skies later this spring. So get out there and see it while you still can. Saturn is lost in the glow of the sun for the entire month. Uranus starts the month off at about 65 degrees above the southern horizon at sunset. It is glowing at magnitude 5.79, so you'll likely need binoculars or a telescope to reveal its small bluish-green disk. By the end of the month, it will be tough to spot as it will be low in the west. So definitely try to spot this distant world while it's high in the sky. Neptune is lost in the glow of the sun by about the third week of February. You can spot it with a telescope early in the month. It glows dimly at magnitude 7.82, and you can spot it about 11 degrees away from Jupiter. In the beginning of the month, just make a line from Jupiter to Venus, and Neptune will be about a third of the way from Jupiter. Comet 2022 E3, or ZTF, is on the verge of naked eye visibility at the start of the month and is going to be high enough to be observed all month in the northern skies. In the previous episode of this podcast, we dove into how to find ZTF. I urge you to get updated charts from
attheskylive.com
or another website to help you locate the comet. Unfortunately for me, the weather in New Jersey hasn't been cooperative, so unless things have changed dramatically since I recorded this, I haven't seen or imaged the comet yet. But if the skies are cooperating where you are, the first week or so of February will offer observers in the northern hemisphere their best views of this comet. The comet has developed an anti-tail, so there's a lot to see. The tails are faint, but currently, long exposure images show that the tail of the comet is more than 12 degrees long. But that can change at any time, as comets are very unpredictable. Either way, you won't see that long of a tail visually, although a tail a couple of degrees long is certainly feasible. Binoculars or a telescope at low power will provide you with the best visual views of the comet, so please try to spot it as this is a once-in-a-lifetime event. Now, every quarter, we're going to start looking at some of the best deep sky objects that can be seen each season. So this month, we're going to explore some of the best of the winter's deep sky objects. Let's start with the Pleiades, cataloged as M45. This naked eye open cluster is the closest Messier object to us at a distance of only 444 light years. Located in the constellation Taurus, the Pleiades is high in the eastern sky as darkness falls in February. Listed at magnitude 1.6 and spanning nearly 2 degrees in size, the cluster's 6 brightest stars are all between 3rd and 5th magnitude, while actually the star Alcyone is listed at magnitude 2.87. The cluster is sometimes mistaken for the Little Dipper, but it looks nothing like that asterism, and it's in the wrong part of the sky. However, if you're familiar with the Subaru logo, the Pleiades should look very familiar. In Japanese, the cluster is referred to as Subaru. Often referred to as the Seven Sisters from Greek mythology, 6 of the stars are easy to spot with the naked eye, while the 7th and more can be spotted from a dark location. Long exposure images show a blue reflection nebula along with faint gas and dust surrounding the Pleiades. The nebula is not part of the cluster, nor did the cluster form from this particular nebula. It's just pure luck that the gas is nearby and is reflecting starlight from the cluster. I've never been able to visually see any nebulosity around the Pleiades. Can you? Let me know if you can. Looking about 65 degrees above the southwestern horizon after darkness falls, you should be able to spot the Andromeda Galaxy, cataloged as M31. This large, bright galaxy can be glimpsed with the naked eye as a large, fuzzy patch of light, and it's easy to see in binoculars or a telescope at low power. It's bright at magnitude 3.44 and spans about 3 by 1 degrees. Yes, it is big. You could span 6 full moons across the width of the galaxy. M31 is the closest large galaxy to us. The galaxy is about 220,000 light years across and is located about 2.5 million light years away from us, making it the furthest object that most people are able to see without any optical aid. M31 is home to around 1 trillion stars, and it has several globular clusters and nebulae that we are able to observe. To spot M31, start at Mirac and sweep 7.5 degrees northwest and you should see the galaxy. M31 has 2 bright companion galaxies, M32 and M110. Both companions are easy targets in binoculars. Orion is dazzling in the southeastern sky as darkness falls in February. This constellation is easy to spot due to the blue-white magnitude 0 star Rigel and reddish-orange magnitude 0.45 Betelgeuse and the 3 white stars that form the belt of Orion between them. The Hunter's Belt and Sword are easy to spot. The constellation holds a myriad of deep sky wonders, but the most famous of them all is M42, the Orion Nebula. M42 can be seen with the naked eye as the middle star in the Sword of Orion. To the naked eye, the middle star looks cloudy or fuzzy. This is the nebula. In binoculars, you can easily see the nebula and the dark patch known as the fish's mouth. Fainter, comma-shaped M43 is easily seen nearby. In a telescope, you can see tremendous amounts of detail, and with a large enough scope from a very dark site, this is one of the very few deep sky objects that people have reported seeing color beyond just gray. I've personally seen pink and red hues observing the nebula through a 14 and an 18-inch telescope under dark skies. It's challenging, but with the right location, equipment, and patience, you can spot color. But this is a joy even without seeing any of the colors that we see in the images of this nebula. The Orion Nebula spans 1.5 by 1 degrees and glows at magnitude 4. It's located 1,344 light years away from us, and the nebula spans about 24 light years across. It is one of the closest regions of active star formation to us. If you've never seen this through binoculars or a telescope, this is the one deep sky object you need to observe. You can really get lost in it. Moving back to the constellation Taurus, we're going to explore the supernova remnant M1, commonly referred to as the Crab Nebula. It is the first entry in Charles Messier's catalog. By the way, if you'd like to know more about Charles Messier, check out part one of our Great Astronomers series. The entire episode is on the life and discoveries of Charles Messier. There will be more Great Astronomers episodes coming up in the next few months, so stay tuned. Anyway, getting back to M1. In the year 1054 AD, Chinese, Japanese, and Korean astronomers all witnessed a very bright star appearing out of nowhere in Taurus. For several months, the star was so bright that it was visible during the day as well as at night. What these ancient astronomers witnessed was the cataclysmic explosion of a massive star. What we see of it today, nearly 1,000 years later, is much fainter. It is now an expanding cloud of gas that glows at magnitude 8.4 and spans about 8 by 4 arc minutes in size. You can spot it in binoculars, but it's best seen in a telescope. Astronomers have studied this object extensively to learn about the life cycle of stars. The star that exploded, creating the nebula, is now a pulsar that spins 30 times a second and has been studied with radio telescopes. To spot the Crab Nebula, start at Aldebaran and sweep to third magnitude Zeta Tauri. Now nudge your scope about 1 degree northwest and you should spot the crab in your eyepiece. Careful observations should show some of the brighter tendrils of material in the crab. Of all the objects we're highlighting in this episode, this is the faintest one. Moving on to something brighter, and in my humble opinion, one of the most stunning objects to observe in binoculars or a telescope, let's move on to the double cluster in Perseus. You can spot this pair of open clusters with the naked eye near the Perseus-Cassiopeia border. It can be seen with the naked eye as a hazy patch, and binoculars will begin to reveal both clusters. In a telescope at low power, you can get stunning views of more than 100 stars looking like diamonds scattered on black velvet. Catalogued as NGCs 869 and 884, these clusters are situated about 7,500 light-years away from us. They are made up of hot blue stars as well as several red giant stars. This is a colorful pair of clusters. Since the clusters contain so many blue and red stars, you can bump up the magnification and then defocus the stars slightly. This will help you see the colors of the member stars much easier. This pair looks great in any telescope and is a joy to look at any time of the year as it is circumpolar, but it is highest in winter evenings. M35 in Gemini is another of the most observed open clusters. This cluster is big and bright, but it has a smaller, fainter neighbor, making for an interesting pairing. M35 is cataloged as NGC 2168 and can be spotted with the naked eye under dark skies. It shines at magnitude 5.1 and spans about 25 arc minutes. It's located about 2,772 light years away from us. The cluster is comprised of 418 stars, and in a telescope, dozens of the member stars are easily resolved. Located about 10 arc minutes away is NGC 2158, which appears smaller and fainter than M35. At magnitude 8.6 and spanning only 5 arc minutes. Surprisingly, both clusters are actually about the same size and contain roughly the same number of stars, but NGC 2158 is 4 times further away, giving it its smaller and dimmer appearance. Either way, it's fun to see both of these clusters in the same low-power field. They're easy to find, as they make a triangle with the stars 1 Geminorum and Propus. One of my personal favorite winter deep sky objects is the open cluster M37 in Auriga. You can easily spot it as it's situated a little less than halfway between Mahasin and Elnath, and just about 2 degrees southwest of the line between those two stars. Located about 4,500 light-years away, the cluster is made up of about 500 stars and is around 600 million years old. The cluster glows at magnitude 5.6 and spans about 15 minutes of arc. Under very dark skies, this can be seen with the naked eye as a smudge of light. Binoculars will show a grainy cloud with a few of the brighter members resolved, while a telescope will reveal dozens of member stars within the cluster. This part of the skies has many bright open clusters, but my guess is that you'll return to this one over and over again. You'll notice that there's a sixth magnitude star about half a degree away from the cluster. It's a great helper to find the cluster with binoculars or a telescope. Our last winter highlight object is M44, commonly called the Beehive Cluster, or Precipi. Located in the constellation Cancer, this is an easy object to spot. It is big and bright. Just spot the Y shape of stars making up Cancer, and you'll see the two stars Acellus Borealis and Acellus Australis. The cluster is located just a tad west and in between the two stars. It shines at magnitude 3.1 and spans 70 arc minutes in diameter. The cluster is made up of about 1,000 stars and is located about 577 light-years away from us. The cluster itself is about 15 light-years across, and its stars are around 650 million years old. You can spot M44 with the naked eye as a hazy patch of light, appearing a little larger than the full moon. But binoculars or a telescope at low power will yield the best views of the beehive. Dozens of stars can be seen visually, while long exposure images show more of the cluster's faint members along with several faint galaxies in the background. I hope that you'll go out and enjoy these wonders. Likely, you'll return to them over and over again. Our next episode will be an interview. Fortunately, I have several interesting guests lined up, and we'll all be learning about some fun and interesting things in our hobby. So stay tuned. Well, that's all for this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope that you found our time together to be fun and helpful. If you have questions or episode suggestions, please email us at astroguypodcast@gmail.com or leave us a text or a voicemail at 973-404-0380. If you're not already a member, please join the Astro Guy Podcast group on Facebook. You'll find other members, videos, blogs, and lots of other useful information there for your enjoyment. You can also visit our YouTube channel, The Astro Guy Podcast, for past episodes and other surprises. Please subscribe. It would be great if you could consider leaving us a review on your podcast platform. It helps us to get new listeners. Thank you again for listening, and may your skies be clear. As always, carpe noctem. Seize the night.
I'm Wayne Zuhl, and this was the Astro Guy Podcast. Thank you for listening. As always, your questions, comments, and suggestions are welcome. Keep wondering. Keep your eyes on the sky. Have fun. Carpe noctem. Seize the night.